for argument is United States versus Williams. Mr. McGowan.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office in the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Allen Williams. Mr. Williams is appealing the district court's two-level increase for misrepresentation that he's acting on behalf of a charitable organization in this criminal prosecution. Mr. Williams was a treasurer for the Central Illinois Kidney Fund and was able to sign checks without a co-signer on those checks from about 1985 through the offense conduct, which began in 1994 and continued in through 2001.
Isn't the thing that finally tipped off the bank to look into this the fact that one of these larger transfers that he undertook, the $15,000 one, triggered an audit on the part of the bank?
Yes.
Well, why doesn't that suggest that his efforts earlier on to allay any concerns that the tellers might have had about what strike me as rather large chunks of money from petty cash funds, $750 or so, maybe I've operated in sort of small stakes places or something, that people don't keep that kind of money around in the desk. But he's there, he's telling the tellers, don't worry about it, you know, I'm just doing this. And isn't that his effort, in a sense, to show that he's misrepresenting this in a certain way?
Your Honor, to answer your question in a multifaceted way, first of all, the average check was about $700, maybe $705, I think. I averaged
them out. He tells the tellers that these are for petty cash. He's acting, he's obviously on with the kidney, I mean, a wonderful, you know, worthy charity, and we need all this petty cash around.
I mean, no, we're not objecting to facts, however, the fact came
but the
from...
The point is that in a way, do we have two separate things he's getting enhancements for? Is his activity vis-a-vis the tellers within the scope of that part of the guidelines, and is his abuse of position of trust something different so that we don't have double counting?
Exactly, and I think I will say about the double counting argument that if this court finds that what he said to the tellers fit the definition of the misrepresentation application, then my double counting argument really wouldn't apply. My double counting argument is simply that this court not use both for both adjustments what he said to the board. What he said to the board is clearly an abuse of trust. However, under the abuse of trust guidelines, that shouldn't be applied if it's used for some, if it's something else. I believe the standard is may not be employed if an abuse of trust is included in the base offense level or specific characteristics. But to get back to your question originally about what he was telling the tellers, we know this information from what he told the investigators in 2001 when they investigated, when he confessed to them. There's no information from the tellers, for instance, about what they were asking the questions for or why they thought it was important. But he told them, evidently, initially in about 1994. But, in fact, he said he didn't tell them later on. And this person worked at two different banks. So part of my argument that it's not material to him getting those checks cashed is that over that long period of time, he only did it initially, and he only did it at the first bank.
But that, of course, requires us to agree with you that materiality is part of 2B1.1B7.
Exactly.
Right.
That's another part of my argument. But but in concerning materiality, you know, he had the ability to cash checks on his account, whether it's for a grand or for $200 or $300, or I think the pre-sentence report talked about one check for $40. The teller was going to give him this money based on his position with the kidney fund, and in fact with his position with the bank, which is over the tellers, whether he said anything or not is my position. So it's not material in that way. Now the reason I think that the materiality should be a factor in this court's consideration of whether this misappropriation or misrepresentation guideline should apply in these cases is that it would be consistent with this court's other cases where it was material. It's also consistent with the guidelines examples, all of which include a reaction to a misrepresentation.
So what about the language of the actual guidelines? Because B1.1B7 doesn't talk about materiality, even though some other guidelines do. And it could be that we're just thinking that people are morally reprehensible enough that they should get a two-level increase if they misrepresent on behalf of one of these charitable organizations.
Well, Your Honor, over the years, the guidelines, I really haven't seen this argument made before where there's an implied materiality element to a guideline, and therefore I wasn't able to cite a case, but I'm citing the examples that are contained in the guideline, and this court has said it are illustrated, but not the be-all and end-all of how that guideline should be applied. And looking at those, there's always a reaction to the misrepresentation, and in those cases, there's solicitations. People from outside the organization are donating to the organization, and when you take them as a whole, there is a materiality requirement. There has to be some reaction, and in this case, the teller is giving him the money from the bank account that he had authority to withdraw for whatever reason. I'm arguing it's not material. And if there are no other questions, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gowan. Mr. Gowan, Mr. Powell? No?
May I please the court, counsel? My name is Geraldine Knauss. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney, Central District of Illinois at Peoria. This matter is before this court on a de novo review of the district court's application of the sentencing guideline 2B1.17A, which provided for an enhancement for the misrepresentation that the defendant was acting on behalf of a charitable organization. In sum, the defendant represented to tellers at the financial institution where he was working that he was cashing certain checks for the petty cash fund for the Central Illinois Memorial Kidney Fund, also known as CIMKF, of which he was in fact the treasurer. Further, he advised these tellers that these funds were needed to supplement the petty cash fund. In total, he cashed over 160 checks totaling about $119,000. On some of the checks which he cashed with the tellers, the memo field reflected that the checks were in fact being written for petty cash, and that was on the memo field of the check. The case agent who investigated the case, who interviewed the defendant, testified at the sentencing hearing that the defendant told him that he made these misrepresentations to the tellers to cover what he had in fact been doing and to cover up his illegal activity. The defendant's initial argument in this case is actually in two parts. First, that the enhancement should be limited to actual solicitations on behalf of a charitable organization. And secondly, that even if this court chooses not to limit it to solicitations, that the defendant seeks to have this court impose a materiality requirement. With regard to solicitation, the government would urge this court to adopt what is in fact a plain reading of the guideline here, and that is in fact that the guideline references a misrepresentation that the defendant was acting on behalf of a charitable organization. As the defendant admitted in the district court, the conduct that he engaged in actually fits that particular guideline. As this court would note, the term solicitation is not even mentioned in the guideline, but finds its appearance in the commentary. And it's on that commentary that the defendant, in fact, seeks his support. As this court, however, has previously noted in United States versus Ferreira, the examples of conduct there in the guidelines are illustrative and not exhaustive. And based on the misrepresentations, the government urges this court to find that these misrepresentations were, in fact, a cause for the application of the enhancement. With regard to the materiality suggestion by the defendant, again, the government urges this court to note that there is, in fact, no materiality requirement found in the guideline. Finally, with regard to the double counting, the government would point out to this court that there was, in fact, two separate bases for the court's determination as far as the application of the enhancement for misrepresentation of acting on behalf of a charitable organization, as well as the fact of the application of the adjustment for abuse of position of trust. Initially, the enhancement for the misrepresentation was based on the defendant's misrepresentations to the tellers. That formed that basis. And secondly, his total unbridled discretion, his total control of the account as the treasurer of the kidney fund, provided a justification for the application of the usurper position of trust. As this court has previously noted in United States versus Willie, there is in fact occasion when both of these adjustments are in fact appropriate. If the court has no questions, I would in fact at this time ask the court to affirm the sentence imposed by the district court and return the balance of my time to the court.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Now, Mr. McGowan, how much time does he have? 3 minutes? You have nothing? Okay, well, and thank you very much, both counsel, and we thank the defender's office for their vigorous efforts on behalf of it. And the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.